Today's year's Masech Techul and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Tez Zayin on Mabez, the bottom line at the Mishnah. The Torah HaKadosh says, Kol Chaylev Shor V'Chesed V'Ez Lo Yisaychelu. The Torah is very strict about the Isser of eating Chaylev. And the Torah HaKadosh says, Ki Kol Eichel Chaylev Min HaBehema Ashiyakr V'Menu LaHashem V'Nikr V'Sa Nefesh HaChelis Memel V'Chol Dam Lo Yisaychel V'Chol Mesh V'Seychel Oifel HaBehema. So the Torah here speaks about the Isser of eating Chalev and the Isser of eating Dam. The Mishnah now is going to focus about the differences in Halacha between Chalev and Dam. And even though, as point out the Mefarshim, that this Mishnah is not speaking about Basar V'Chalav, which has been the subject of this perek, it's mentioned here because in the Sefer we're going to speak about where is there an Issa Dam, where is there an Issa Chalev, and this is very similar to what we've been discussing in the previous shurim, where is there an Issa Bas B'Cholav and where is there not an Issa Bas B'Cholav, and therefore because of that commonality the Mishnah speaks about these halacha at all. The Tferes Yontif, the Tferes Yaakov explains that indeed the first part of the Mishnah that's going to be speaking about Kochim really doesn't belong here, but the Sefer of the Mishnah, which speaks about Chulin, that's why it belongs here in our Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah Chayim B'Chayim B'Dam, there are certain stringencies that apply by chaylev that don't apply by dam. V'chaim b'dam b'chaylev, and there's certain stringencies that apply by dam and don't apply by chaylev, explains the Mishnah. V'chaim b'chaylev, the stringency that we find by chaylev, shechaylev mo'alim ba, if you have a part of the carbon that is kodesh, the halacha is, if it's not something that belongs to the kohen, or it's not something that belongs to the owner, it's called kotshi Hashem, and anything that's kachi Hashem is subject to the halachas of mila behegdish, where the halacha is that one is not allowed to have any benefit from something that belongs to hegdish. Actually, it doesn't make a difference if it's kudushus mizbeach, something, an animal that's going to be brought on the mizbeach, or kutche bedekabayis, something that belongs to bedekabayis. If somebody has benefit with the value of a pruta, it's considered that he did meila. If he violated meila b'mezid, he gets Malkus, and he, of course, has to repay Hegdish for what he benefited from Hegdish. If he did it B'Shoigig, he has to, again, pay what he benefited, add a Choymish, and he has to bring a carbon Osham and a Sham Me'ilas. So the Chalev, says the Mishnah, is subject to Me'ilah. Furthermore, if somebody eats Chalev, V'chayav Ala Mishum, Pigal Nois V'Tameh, if somebody eats a carbon which is pigle, as we've learned so many times, Masechta Zvachim, if somebody brought a carbon with a machshava to do chutzos man, it's pigle, nice that he left over from the carbon, it's tamei. All these cases, there's going to be a chiyuv if you did this with the chaylev, but there is no such chiyuv by the dam. And furthermore, says Rashi, if somebody ate chaylev when he is tamei, he's chayef tuchat, b'shogit, he's two chayef tuchat. There's one for chaylev and one for eating a carbon when he's tamei. Says the Mishnah, further v'chayim b'dam, and dam has certain stringencies. Shadam noig b'behem b'chayef oif. This dam applies by behem b'chayef v'oifis, bein tamei and bein tahirim, whether it's kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. And chaylev ain't a noig el behemah tayr b'vav, but the issa chaylev only applies by a kosher animal. So we learned in our Mishnah that if one eats chaylev of kachim, he's chayev for meila. And our Mishnah didn't differentiate between kachim and kachim kalim. It seems that our Mishnah is of the opinion that kachim kalim, which are not subject to me'ilah, until after you did Zrikas Adam, because until then there's a part that's owned by the owner. The halacha is, and if as long as they're alive, they're not subject to Me'ila. There is Me'ila by the Emrim, the parts that after you shech the animal, after you shech the kachakalim, and you intend to put it on the Mizbeach, they're subject to Me'ila. And the same too, the halacha is by Chalev. Ask the Gemara, how do we know, the Gemara begins with the first question, that after Zrik Stam, we just said that by Kachem Kalim, there's Mi'ila on the Amrim. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Amrav Yanai, the Amakrod, the Pasuk says, Kashiurim and Mishar Zavach Hashlamim. The Torah speaks about the Imurim that are taken from Karm Shlamim. Ask the Gemara, V'chi ma, the Pasuk is speaking about a Parakoy Mashiach, that if a Kohen Gadol does certain averis, he brings a certain carbon, a par. And the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, that carbon is like Kashiurim Mishar Zavach Hashlamim. Ask the Gemara, what does the Pasuk mean to teach us? What does the Pasuk of Mishar Zavach Hashlamim teach us? Mata, says the Gemara, this will be considered a situation. It seems that the Pasuk is trying to teach us something from Shlomim to Parakai Mashiach, but really it's just the opposite. We're learning from the Parakai Mashiach Alocha Bekam Shlomim. And the Gemara explains, Mak Shah Zavach Shlomim Parakai Mashiach. Mak Parakai Mashiach Yesh Be Me'ila, because it's Kotche Kotchim. Af Shah Zavach Shlomim Yesh Be Me'ila, there's going to be Me'ila in the Me'ira, in the Amrim, after you did Zrikas Adam. Amalei Rechanina, Kura, Zusha Shana Rabbi, is this halacha, Rebbe taught us from a different pasuk. Why do you find that dissatisfactory? Because the Braisa says, the pasuk says, by Kachem Kalim, Kol Chelev Lashem, and we learn from there, L'Rabbis Emurim Kachem Lamila. So his question is, why is that pasuk not a good source? Why did you ask the Gemara, look for this pasuk? Amabaya, to which Abaya responded, Itzrich. We need to add this pasuk. Dira Kos Rachmana, if we only had the pasuk of Kol Chelev Hashem, have a minute, we would think Chelev in, that by the Chelev there's Me'ilah, but the other parts of the animal that are put on the Mizbeach, Yisaris HaKavid, which is the diaphragm, Shtei Kloyus, the kidneys, which are not Chelev, Loi, there is no Me'ila by them. Kos Rachmana, that's why the Pasuk says, Kashiyuam Mishar Zavach Hashlamim, that any part of the carbon shlam that's put on the Mizbeach, that is a Murim, is considered like the Parakai Mashiach, and subject to Me'ila. Kos Rachmana Kashiyuam, but if we only had the Pasuk Kashiyuam, Havimina Chelev Alya, when we speak about the Chelev of a tail, the halacha is, when we speak about the chelev of the tail, the lesser bishara, loy, the alya of a keves is brought on the mizbeach, but the alya of the tail of a shor is not. So, kos rachmana kol chelev, to teach us that the alya of a when you bring the alya of the keves, there's that's considered chelev, and that it's subject to Mila. If that's the case, that we're calling the tail of a kelvis chelev, ask the Gemara, the halacha ought to be titzah b'achila, we should not be allowed to eat it, like we may not eat any chelev. Amalei, to which Rav Zvid responded, Alech amakra, kol chelev shav kesev v'eiz, loisa chelu, dava shav b'shav kesev v'eiz. Where all of them, when they're all brought as a carbon, that's when it's considered chelev. But when not all tails are brought as a carbon, as we're saying, only the tail of a kesev is brought, it's not considered chelev. The Gemara points out a different answer, how we know that the chelev of the alya of a keves is not considered chelev and is not considered chelev and is not also to be eaten. Says the Marav Ashi, Amachelbay, Ha'alya Ikri. The Chela, the Aliyah of a Keves is called Chela of Aliyah. It's a new status. Chela of Stama, Loyikub, it's not just called Chela. And where did the Torah say that Chela is Asar? Only when it's called Chela, not when it's called Chela with something else. Elma Ata, if that's the case, that the Aliyah of a Keves is not considered Chela, Loyamalabab, because as we said, how do we know this Mi'ilah? Because the Torah says, "Call Chelav LaShem by Chelav." But if it's not considered Chelav, ask the Gemara, ought not to be Chayiv Mi'ilah? Says the Gemara, "Machvata Kedrav Zvid." It must be that the Delek Rav Zvid said that Alya is called Chelav, and the reason it's allowed to be eaten because it's not considered Chelav by Shor V'Eiz, the Teretz that Gemara said. The Gemara says a moment ago. The Rambam explains that when we speak about chelav, there are two connotations. One means fat, and one means something which is choice, like the Pasuk says, chelav aris. The Pasuk that calls the tail of a keves, of a sheep, as chelav, he says, doesn't mean to call it chelav in the sense that it's chelav, which may not be eaten. The Torah means to call it chelav in the term that it's a choice part. It's a choice part of the animal. However, the Brisk Rav quotes a brisa that says that even though we're not calling it chelav as far as bringing it on the mizbeach, but it is maybe considered chelav as far as all the halachas pertaining to kabbanis. Now, as he's saying this, the way I understand the Brisk Rav explained, there's two categories of chelav. There's chelav that we think of about the Issa chelav, and there's chelav we think at about as we bring a carbon, they have different halachas. We learned in the Mishnah, however, when we speak about chelav, there's chelav me'ila, Pigel noisa tameh, not by dam. Ask the Gemara Menorah Mili, where do we know that by dam, all these halachas do not apply? And again, the Mefarshim points, if we're trying to differentiate between kachim kachim and kachim kalim, the Gemara is asking, how do we know that this din of dam is both by kachim kachim and kachim kalim? Answers the Gemara Amma Ula, Dama Kra. The pasuk says, "Ki nefesh habasu b'damu, v'nid nosatu lechem habasu lechapa al nefeshaseichem." And from the word lechem, we learned lechem yehei, that it's considered yours, and therefore it's considered yours, and there is no meila because it's considered your. It's considered yours. Says the Gemara, the Meir of Shmuel Tana, b'chapara. The pasuk says, "V'anin nosatul chama mizbech lechaper." We learn it from the chapar nosatif. The purpose of the dam is to set, make a kapara, but loy lemeila, it's not subject to meila. Yochan amam makro. The pasuk says, "Kedamu v'nefesh lechaper." Who? The pasuk says that when we speak about the dam, lifnei kapara kalach kapara, we treat it the same before and after it was put on the mizbeach. Malach kapara ein by meila. After it was put on the mizbeach, it's not subject to meila. So too will be the halacha afle fnei kapara. Before you put it on the mizbeach, it will also be not subject. It would not be subject to. It would not be subject to meila. Ask the Gemara. Fine. We're comparing lifnei kapara and lach kapara. But ask the Gemara, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is just the opposite. And say, ve'emahu lach kapara, lifnei kapara. And we should say that after kapara, it's subject to milah. Ma lifnei, and we should say, ma lifnei kapara. Just like before the kapara, it's subject to milah. The halacha should be that lach kapara, it's also subject to milah. Answers the Gemara, that is not a position that the Gemara finds as a reasonable position. Because says the Gemara, Ein lecha davar shenasa mitzvasoi, the Gemara, and we're going to focus on this rule, now says that anything that was brought to do a mitzvah, once the mitzvah was completed, it's no longer subject, or me'alimba, it's not subject to Mila. So once you had the Zrikas Adam, it's not subject to Mila because it was Nasis Mitzvasa. The Sefer Mekar Baruch makes an interesting point. He says that when we speak about things being brought on the Mizbeach, we speak about them as having a halacha of hakrova, that we have to put them on the Mizbeach. And we also look at them, as something that is there for hakrova. The two dinim, hakrova and kapara. And he suggests that when we speak about the dam that's put on the Mizbeach, we only consider it something that's there for kapara. That's what the Gemara means to teach us. It's only there for the purpose of kapara and not there for the purpose of hakrova. And therefore, the halachas of mila are connected to something which is there for hakrova. This is not there for hakrova. V'loi, ask the Gemara, is that true that once the mitzvah was done, it's no longer subject to mila? Ask them about Trumas Hadeshin. Every morning, they would take a shovel full of ash off the Mizbeach, and they would put it on the side of the Mizbeach, where it would get absorbed, into the ground. And says the Gemara, it would get absorbed to the ground. And the halacha is, so obviously, once you put it on the side, the Nasa Mitzvah, it's ready, the mitzvah that has to be done is completed, but yet Umealamba, it's subject to Mila. As the Pasuk says, the Ksiv the Sama Aitsam is Beach. It has to be left there, and one may not use it under any circumstances. So we see that even though it was Nasis Mitzvosoi, it's still subject to Mila. Answers the Gemara, correct. This is indeed a situation that it's subject to the Manasseh Mitzvosoi, and it's subject to Meila, but says the Gemara, Mishum Davatrumas Adeshin Abigdi Kuhuna, Shneik Suvma Baram Kechot. We find in the Torah that Halacha said twice that something that the mitzvah was done and still subject to Meila. One is this example, and the other example is Bigdi Kuhuna, that the Torah says that the Bigdi Kuhuna, which was used on Yom Kippur, cannot be used again. And if you did use it again, you're violating Mi'ila. So we see, and there's a rule, says the Gemara, the Kol Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, whenever the Torah says the same halacha twice, Ayin Malamdim. And as we've explained in previous shiurim, the reason is that if the Torah wanted to establish a rule, the Torah should have said it once. And once the Torah says the rule once, we can learn from there to all other places. The fact that the Torah said it twice means that the Torah is saying, where I want you to have this rule, I will say so. And everywhere else, not. So the Shlah asks, many of us say every morning, the Braiser of Yishmol, which are the Shloish Eser Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes Behem, the 13 different ways that the Torah has learned. And why is this rule that Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad ain't melamdim? So why is that not mentioned in that list? So he answers that all of those limudim are the way to learn something. We use a Gzeri Shavit to learn something. We use a Kavachayim to learn something. Here it's to say ain't melamdim. He's not there to mention things that ain't melamdim. But then they saw other mefarshim explain that, as we just said, there are many that say that braisa every morning. And the question is, why specifically is that the braisa that's mentioned every morning? And they suggest, because this is we want to start the day by quoting a braisa where there's no machloikus. But as we're about to learn, the subject of Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad is open to machloikus, is a 2 psukim, a 3 psukim. So that's why, so now that becomes a subject that's open to dispute, and we don't want to mention anything that's open to dispute. So says the Gemara, as we just said, according to the opinion that says that when the pasuk says by the big day kuna of Yom Kippur, or pasuk as big day kubara shalavash, b'avaya kosh v'nicham sham. So here we learn tunan gnizim that we're not allowed to use them next year. Even the kohen gadol can't use them. El Rav Daisa, but ask the Gemara according to Rav Daisa, the Amar leishtamish ben leYom Kippurim acher. You can't use them. The kohen gadol can't use them next year. The kohen gadol has to get a new set of begadim next year. But the kohen gadol, but the kohen hedyot could use them. So it's not a case that this doesn't become a situation of davish nasis mitzvasei or me'alimbo. So if that's the case, there's only one example of davish nasis mitzvasei or me'alimbo, which is trumas adeshin. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, we should learn from Trumas Hadeshin to all other areas of Halacha that they're subject, that there is Mila even after the mitzvah. There's an interesting question. We're learning now that the Big Day Kohen Gadol, according to this opinion that says that you could use the Big Day Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol can't use them again next year. But what about for Yom Kippur? And a Kohen Hedyot could use them all year. And what about the Kohen Gadol during the year? Will he be allowed to use those Big Day Kohuna that he wore on Yom Kippur during the rest of the year, or may he not use it again? It's actually Machlokes Rishonim. Ella, says the Gemara, the way to understand this Gemara is Mishum Davat Trumas Adeshin Ve'egla Rufish Ne'eksum Ebaim Ke'echad. We know what Halacha is, that if a corpse was found, Lo'y Noidem Yiko, we don't know who murdered him, and we have to measure which is the closest city to that body, and we bring a roofer, we decapitate a calf. And the halacha is that even though the mitzvah was done, the Torah says we're not allowed to have any benefit from it. So again, ask the Gemara to have a trumas. So therefore, says the Gemara, we will now have a situation of have a trumas adesh v'egla roofer shnei suma baim ke'echad, and therefore only here is the halacha if nasis mitzvosei des mila, because kol shnei k'suvim abom ke'echad ein melamdim. But ask the Gemara, hanich l'man da'amar ein melamdim. This is understandable according to that opinion that says shnei k'suvim abom ke'echad ein melamdim. Ask the Gemara, have a l'man da'amar melamdim my ikal ameimor. Answers the Gemara, we're going to take a different approach altogether. Trei miutik sivi. The pasuk specifically is teaching us that only in these two subjects is the Me'ilah, nowhere else. By Trumas Hadeshin, the pasuk says, V'samoy. The Torah is saying, only here do I have to be concerned, nowhere else. And Hasam, by the Rufa, it says, Ha'arufa. Ask to teach us that only here is it still subject to Me'ilah after you did the mitzvah, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, T'losakrab l'ami b'dam. We learned earlier that there's no me'ilah and pigel and noisa and tamei that by dam. That now that we learned that a limud that there's no me'ilah by dam. How do we know by pigel noisa and tamei that's the halacha? So the Gemara the way asks it is why did the Gemara have to have three limudim for dam that they're not subject to me'ilah? Answers the Gemara. Now we could understand because one pasuk is here to exclude them down from the issa noiser. One pasuk is lamutim mimila to exclude it from the issa mila v'chad lamutim etuma, and one pasuk is here to eliminate it from the issa tuma. Ask the Gemara. Avil or Kant points out the Gemara, but pigel that there's no din of pigel by dam loitzar kro. The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masech Tzvachim, kol shiyesh lo matirin. What is subject to me'ilah? Something that makes it, something that has something else that makes a mutter. Bein la'odim bein la'mizbeach. In other words, basar kachim kalim. What makes kachim kalim meat permitted to be eaten? We did zrik sadam. So there's a matir, the zrik sadam, that makes it permissible to be eaten. Or the mizbeach. After the zrik sadam, we could put what's supposed to be burnt in the mizbeach. There is a subject of pigel, chayavan l'mishum pigel, but the dam is never something which becomes mutter. The dam is what makes other things mutter, and since the dam is not something that becomes mutter. It just serves to make other things mutter. That's why it's not subject to pigel. And that's why it not just not subject to pigel, but that's why it's also, that's why it's not just not subject to pigel, but it's also why we don't need a special pasuk to exclude it from pigel. The Medrash says, the ma name ma ain kain gadol nichnas with big days of. Why, when the kain gadol enters the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippur, does he not come in? Says the Gemara, says the Medrash with big days of. Zok the Medrash of Yeshua Omer lochos b'mana asher Yisrael. The question is, what does that mean? So the kain gadol has these begodim. So the Chasam Sofer says what the Medrash means to say. Explains the Chasam Sofer is why on Yom Kippur do they tell the Kohen Gadol not to wear those big days of when he went into the Beis HaMikdash? Because we're learning here v'nichem sham melamed shetun and geniza, they have to be put away. So if every year we're going to have to bury those begadim, those are the golden begadim that are expensive, and therefore because we want to save the money of Jewish people, that's why we put them away. Another reason that I saw is that the Kohen Gadol, when he enters into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, becomes an entirely different type of person. And because he becomes an entirely different person, if a person changes sizes, for example, he's not the same individual. He's going to have to wear different garments. The Torah says that every Yom Kippur has such a profound effect on the Kohen Gadol that enters the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur that the begadim, the big day kahuna that he wore last year when he entered the Beis HaMikdash, are not the same big day kahuna that he's going to wear this year, because he's not the same person. And the way that's symbolized is by having different begodim, Hanu lach kolabasa. As we know, Tarek Dosha says, b'kol oich ashiyok ashiyavol of ma'im yitma. So we learn from here that food is subject to tuma. Food is makabel tuma. Food not only is makabel tuma, but food could spread tuma. But the halacha is, when we speak about food being makabel tuma and spreading food tuma, there's a shear that how much food. So everybody agrees that the amount is a beya. There is a machlokes rishonim. When we say that the shear is kabeya, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's even not makabel tuma? It can't be makabel tuma unless it's a kabeya, or that it's makabel tuma even when it's less than a kabeya, but it doesn't have the ability to spread tuma unless it's a kabeya. When we look at a food, there are different parts of the food. There's the shomer, that like the peel of a fruit that is there to protect the food, and there's the yodos, like a stem that help us hold the food. And the Mishnah now begins to discuss what is the halachic status on yodos and on shomerim as far as hilchos tuma. Says the Ma'or, the skin that's attached to the piece of meat, v'roitiv, the gravy that comes out of a piece of meat, hakipa, are the small pieces of spice or small pieces of meat that you found at the bottom of the pot, v'alol, which we're going to discuss extensively in the Gemara, pashup shad is the small pieces of meat, v'atzomas, and the bone that have, as we'll see, bone that have in them marrow, v'agidim, the veins, hakanayim, the horns, v'atofayim, and the hoofs, mitzdarfim, complete the shir kabeya. When we speak about the shir kabeya, as we have the tamatumas meichlim. So as we said, when we speak about the bone, that we're speaking about, according to most Rishonim, the bone with marrow. When we speak about the vein, here too, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, there are veins that are given that are edible, and there are veins that are not edible. We're speaking ones that are edible. Avloy tumas navelis, we were speaking about a nevela. And of course, the iser to eat nevela is a kazayis. These different foods, these different parts of the animal, don't complete the shir kazayis or fatumas nevela. Ki yitzba, continues the Mishnah. Hashach behema tahema tamei loivik chavim. If somebody shechs an animal for a nachri. So the halacha we've learned earlier in our masechta is that when you shecht an animal, according to the halacha, the moment of shechita is the moment that the animal is considered dead. And therefore, if the animal is still mefracheses, the animal is still jumping around, the halacha is that the animal is considered dead. What's going to be halacha if you shechted a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew? So if the tamat tumas oichlim, it's subject to tumas oichlim, because at that point it's already considered a food. Avloy tumas vela achatumas. It's not considered dead until it actually dies. Or there is one other exception. Achatatis is roisha, until you cut off the head. And the Mishnah is teaching us in a case where you cut off the head, even though it's mefarches, it's already considered dead. Ribul tamat tumas oichlim mimashu ribul tamat tumas nevelos. So what the Mishnah says, it's subject to tumas oichlim prior to being subject to tumas nevelos. Tumas oichlim, it already has once it was killed, even though it's still mefarches. Tumas nevela, it will only have until it completely expires. Rav Yehuda Omer halol, which we said before, are the small pieces of meat attached to the skin of the animal. Hamachunas, if they're all in one place, if yesh kazayit b'makom echad, if you have them all gathered in one place, so at that point it's considered nevela, and therefore if somebody came in contact and became tamei, tumas nevela, by coming in contact with this kazayis of a lol b'makom echad, it will be considered chayil of karis, because Allah is rachmanu tzlan. Somebody enters the base of mikdash when he's tamei, he's chayiv karis, and this will be a case that he's tamei midaraisa, and will be chayiv karis for entering the base of mikdash in such a state.